Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. And before I go ahead and start this next episode, I just want to let you know that we are opening up another cohort for our online couples community this November. And so if you're not aware of this community and you want to learn more, please get in touch at helpingcouplesheal.com. The couples community is all online and it offers a really safe and supportive and nurturing environment where couples that are trying to recover together from sexual betrayal can deepen their connection and meet others that are also on the same journey and receive a lot of education and guidance from expert betrayal trauma specialists. We have quite a few meetings and groups every week and constantly are bringing in amazing guest speakers. And it's just a really incredible opportunity for people who are a bit farther along in the process of recovery. It is required to have already gone through a formal disclosure. And we do have an application process and require that when people join the community, they are not in an acute state of crisis and there has been some level of stabilization in the relationship. So if you'd like to learn more or you would like to apply to join the community, please email support@helpingcouplesheal.com.
Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, a place for healing and hope for couples impacted by betrayal resulting from infidelity and or sex addiction. Your host is Marnie Breaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex addiction therapist, and founder of the Center for Relational Healing in Los Angeles and San Diego, California. The Helping Couples Heal podcast was launched in 2021 with the intention of bringing hope to couples all over the world who are desperately trying to recover from the devastating impact of betrayal. Realizing how many people the podcast was reaching and that we could offer even more support to our listeners, Marnie co-founded Helping Couples Heal, which has since grown into a global online coaching organization. This podcast is the foundation of all the work that we do at Helping Couples Heal. Thank you for listening. Marnie brings over a decade of experience and expertise in the field of betrayal trauma and is honored to support you wherever you may be in your healing. If you've lost hope, you've come to the right place. Now, take a slow, deep breath and let's begin with the Helping Couples Heal podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. This is Marnie, and I'm here today with Elise to talk to you about self-trust. And before we dive into the topic, I'm going to ask that for those of you who are finding this podcast helpful, if you would be able to take a minute or so and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, that is one of the very best ways that other people who are struggling can find this podcast as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And so, Elise, we're back.
We are back. I love this topic also.
Yeah, this is a really important topic. We decided to talk about self-trust because one of the things that we have found over so many years of working with partners that have been betrayed is that after years of being gaslit and abused and deceived, their own feeling of being able to trust themselves has been severely damaged. You know, there's a lot of wounding to that part of the brain called the second brain, which is our intuition. And people often say, well, if I didn't see that, like if I missed that, then how do I trust myself? Or if I chose that person and this person is the one who harmed me, how can I make good choices? And so I feel like really having time to just focus on this idea of self-trust and the damage to betrayed partners would be really helpful to a lot of our listeners.
Yep. Because the rebuilding of trust is generally and often framed around rebuilding trust with whoever you were betrayed by. But the idea that it does such damage to your own ability to trust yourself, the world, other people, it really spans out to so much of life. And I think it's so important to remember that although there's been a betrayal, that there have probably been thousands and thousands of things that you have been able to trust in yourself and in other people about throughout your lifetime, and that this doesn't define you or your ability to get regrounded in yourself. It definitely shatters the ground that you're standing on, but that you can build that back. And oftentimes remembering, well, wait a second, I have trusting friendships. I've been trusted in my workplace. I'm a trusted parent. There's lots of examples of how and where I hold trust, and that's not shattered.
And I'd like to invite any of the betrayed partners listening to stop this recording for a moment, or you can listen through and then come back and do this when you're done listening, but to take a few moments and sit down with a journal or a pad and a pen and think about and reflect on when in your past did you make a decision that was a really positive experience? When did you trust yourself and have it turn out to be a positive experience or a good decision? I really want you to look back and not see yourself through the lens of someone who was betrayed, but look at your past and really get a clear picture of the times when you could trust yourself and you did trust yourself.
I think that's an excellent. I want to stop now and do it.
Me too.
It's really powerful, you know, and you know my history. I had a betrayal in a work setting, had a betrayal with a partner. I think that journey back to really trusting myself and living my life in a way where I didn't feel like I needed a committee of people, talk to my mother and talk to my friend and then talk to this person and gather up all of this stuff to be able to make a decision because I felt so uncertain within my own self. And what I realized is that I was giving away agency after having my agency taken away from me. And part of this is reclaiming, really coming home to yourself and rebuilding that muscle, rebuilding your intuition. And it truly is so transformative. And there's so many other things that come from that, your confidence, your clarity, the way that you see the world, your vision on things. It really is a snowball effect when you really start to trust yourself again.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of betrayed partners and couples after betrayal are trying to make decisions, right? Trying to figure out what should we do? You know, first of all, where do we go for treatment? Right? What kind of treatment do we need? And then do we want to heal the relationship? Do we want to stay together? Do we want a therapeutic separation? Do we want a disclosure? There are so many things and decisions to have to make. And for a partner who's coming in with trauma, they're already experiencing the symptoms of trauma that make it difficult for us to make decisions anyway. Right? When people are depressed or they experience trauma, one of the first symptoms that we see is difficulty focusing, difficulty with concentration, difficulty with making decisions. But then in this world of betrayal, now you have the betrayed partner who for years, as I said at the beginning, has been gaslit and made to feel that they were crazy and to second guess themselves. And so now it's hard enough to make a decision just because of the trauma piece. Whatever the trauma is from, we're going to have that problem with making decisions. But now it's all of this damage to the second brain and not believing that someone can trust themselves. So now here they are in a crisis, finding out that there's been betrayal. There's been this big discovery. Now they have to move forward and make all these really important decisions, and they can't trust themselves to make those decisions.
That's so hard. It truly is. And, you know, I guess part of that is slowly building back, right? Like sort of building momentum towards being able to trust in something, right? I trust that when I say I'm going to drink more water tomorrow, I actually drank more water. I can trust that if I said I'm not going to have a soda, I didn't have a soda. Now, these small, insignificant things, but what it is keeping my word. Saying something and then keeping my word and then trusting that I can trust that I will keep my word. If I say that I'm going to do something, I do it. If I'm going to be late, I own that too. But whatever it is that I'm building that trust more for me than does anybody care if I drank water? No. Right? Does anybody care if you had the soda? No. But if you said that, then you hold on to that. And I think part of what's so challenging is because of the trauma, there's such a roller coaster of emotions. Which emotion do you trust? Do you trust the moment where you're feeling kind of, okay, I'm getting back to myself, I'm feeling better? Do you trust the emotion where you're like, that's it, I've had it, I'm over it, I can't do this anymore? How do you know what to trust? And that's why coming back to yourself and working with your own human resources, your breath, your brain, your body, slowing things down and getting into a rhythm where you can really start to build momentum for self-trust and then trust in other people, trust in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that I was thinking about while you were talking is, you know, again, so many of our clients want to heal the relationship and they're trying to make decisions from this place of trauma and from this place of lack of self-trust. And the truth is, nobody should make a decision when they're in that place. When someone can't trust themselves, regardless of the reason for it, that's not a good time to be making really important decisions about themselves and their lives and their relationships. Because the truth is, if you make a decision at a time when you're not trusting yourself and you don't feel solid in your decisions, then you'll likely make a decision that's not necessarily the right decision for you. You know, I work with people all the time, men and women who've been betrayed and are really uncertain about, how can I ever trust this person again? How can I be with the person who has caused me all this harm? But that's the person I trusted the most and they hurt me and they don't know how they can do it, right? Like there's so much confusion. And I say, let's not put the focus on that decision right now. Let's help you heal and let's help yourself find that foundation within yourself again so that you're able to trust you. And then you can look at your relationship and you can look at other areas of your life and make decisions that feel like you can stand by them. Decisions that feel inside yourself are the right decisions. Making a decision about staying in a relationship, making any big decision when you don't feel safe within yourself, when you don't know that it's the right thing, because you don't even think, you're like, I'm not even going to make this decision. I'm going to turn this decision over to my partner to make or to my therapist to make or my friend to tell me because I don't trust myself. Well, then what that tells me is that that's a decision that has to be put aside for the moment while you heal those parts of yourself that really need attention.
Yeah. And I so agree with the connection to what we're in alignment with. So if we're in a really low place and we're sort of filtering life and figuring out what to do, but the barometer is really low, chances are the things that you're going to come up with, the things that you're going to attract and be attracted to are going to be in alignment with this low, rough, shattered, hurt, suffering part of us. And is that where you want to create something from? No, nobody wants to create from there. So kind of putting a pin in it, I find myself saying that expression a lot. Let's put a pin in that. We don't have to decide that, but I understand this desire to want to do something. I need to do something when the truth of the matter is that it's really about being. It's not really about doing. It's about coming back to your being. Who are you being? How are you being? I'm sure you've heard it also for decades that when I speak, I don't sound like myself. I don't recognize myself. I don't even feel like myself. Where did I go?
I'm a shell of the person that I once was.
Yeah. Well, imagine coming back to, I feel myself. I feel strong within myself. I'm gaining momentum in myself. I feel more clear. I'm feeling more competent and confident. And then making these life decisions, totally different decisions.
Yeah. And what happens is because there's so much crisis after the discovery of betrayal, so many decisions to make about everything, where to go for treatment, who to work with, you know, should we do this group or that group, or should you stay in the house? What boundaries do we tell the kids? You know, there's so much going on that there's almost like this sense of urgency to make decisions and figure things out. Quite honestly, for the person who's done the betrayal, they also shouldn't be making big decisions. Right? They've got their stuff that they need to do and tackle first. And their own trauma that they're working through, the trauma that caused the betrayal, but also the trauma of their life shattering. Because when discovery happens, it's not just the betrayed partner whose life is derailed, theirs gets derailed too. So they shouldn't be making big decisions either. But for the betrayed partner, they really need to stop and pause, and not just pause for a moment, but pause to do all of the work. and to not get taken along in that drive to make decisions right away. You know, I've worked with betrayers who have said to me, you know, my partner is still not sure, and I don't know how much longer I want to wait. And I'll say to them, what are you talking about? Your partner found out less than a year ago that there's been betrayal. They had no clue this was going on for years and years. They just had a disclosure a few months ago. They just learned all this information. They had this reality prior, and then bam, it's like a car crash. You know, they're driving along. Now there's this huge car crash, and now there's a whole new reality over here, right? And you're saying you don't know how long you can wait. Well, your partner needs to take all that time, and you should want your partner to take that time, because you want your partner to make a decision that's based in truth and that's based in what's best for him or her and what's best for you. And those decisions, those really thought out, clear decisions, are not going to happen in the midst of crisis. So this is the sad part, I think, for a lot of people listening, but also validating, because I think many people know it, that this is not a fast process. It happens slowly and over time. And because there's so much waiting and it can't be decided all in a moment, I think that's really painful, because it means that there's going to be suffering during that time. Not every moment. Not every moment is going to be a moment of suffering, but there is going to be suffering, and there's going to be despair. And it's going to feel difficult to wait. And we want to know.
Yeah, I think the relationship that we have to time shifts so radically when there's been a trauma and when we have been traumatized and when we're in this repair state, because we want it to hurry up, but then we need time to make a decision and we're not sure. And so our relationship to time takes a huge shift. And it's this hurry up and wait. And it causes so much internal angst and anxiety when you're living in this hurry up and wait. And, you know, when you were speaking, I was envisioning a garden, fresh garden, right? And putting down fresh soil and toiling the soil and working with the soil and planting new seeds, or taking seeds and putting them in this toxic ground and hoping that something beautiful is going to grow. It's not going to happen. We've got to do that underbelly work. It just has to happen.
Yeah, it's sad that things do not just happen overnight. And therapy or any kind of mental health treatment or any kind of coaching, or there's so many different modalities out there now that are helpful to people when they're suffering, but most of them are also not a quick fix. And let's be honest, that's the reason why there is so much addiction in our society. Our culture is based on, or is filled with, people that have not learned healthy coping skills, have not learned how to sit with pain and endure pain, right? And so how can I get out of this pain as quickly as possible with as limited amount of damage as possible? Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat too much until I'm not able to think about it, or I'm not going to eat, or I'm going to go and act out sexually, or I'm going to go act out with money and spending, or with alcohol and drugs, because we don't want to be in pain. We don't want to sit with pain. And we do want a quick fix, and we do want to make a quick decision. The problem is, and I can say that with the clients I've worked with over the last many, many, many years, the ones that have made very fast decisions and quick decisions have typically not felt like those were the best decisions. And that has been with clients who have left the relationship really fast. You know, they learn something and then they're like, that's it, I'm gone, I'm out. And then realize later, actually, I feel like I didn't give that a fair chance. I actually feel like I wanted to maybe try to heal this or see where the possibility can go. I made too quick of a decision because I just couldn't, I didn't know what to do, right? I wasn't solid in myself, and, or I keep vacillating, like I'm trying to make a decision, or my therapist or my husband's therapist is asking me to make this decision and they keep asking me and I can't make a decision. Like, I don't know. And the reason for that is, that's right, you don't know. You need to give yourself space and you need to heal. And nobody should be pressuring you, let alone yourself. You don't pressure you. Take a step back. And, you know, I want to speak for a moment to the betrayers who are listening, because we have a lot of betrayers. I think our audience is pretty equal. So to those of you who've betrayed your partner, I'm hoping that you can hear what we're saying in this episode from a place of compassion and love. Because if you can start to formulate, if you haven't already, an understanding of the damage that was done to your partner in terms of their ability to trust themselves,
if you can understand how they are asking themselves and they are questioning, how did I not see that? What did I miss? I can't trust myself. If you're able to imagine what your partner's experience is, what it's like for them to sit back and now doubt themselves, to feel like something's wrong with their intuition, something's wrong with them, then you can approach them and talk to them and speak to them from a place of compassion instead of impatience or defensiveness or frustration. This is a gift for you. If you are able to recognize in your partner this huge loss that they've had with their own ability to trust themselves, then you can help them in their healing. You can be empathic. You can help them in those moments where they feel frustrated with themselves or mad at themselves. And you can stop and you can say what Elise and I are saying right now. No, you didn't know different. I was a master manipulator. I didn't want you to know the truth. I was doing everything that I could to keep the truth hidden so you wouldn't know. And you trusted me because we made vows. Our relationship was based in, I've got your back, you've got my back, you can trust me, I can trust you. And you were operating from that place. And I was operating from a place of deception and manipulation, right? And so you were not wrong. And I want to help you heal the relationship that you have with yourself and with your ability to trust. How can I do that? How can I support you in doing that? Well, if that's how you can listen and hear this episode today, then I see a lot of hope for healing.
For sure. I feel so moved listening to you say all of that because, you know, there is this sense of such incredible loss in this whole framework of trust, trusting myself, trusting my partner, trusting the world, trusting life, just living in this expectation that something's going to happen, this heightened sense of something's going to happen, and really being able to bring it back to, okay, I'm okay in this moment. I'm okay. Everything is going to be okay. I may not know exactly what that looks like, but I'm going to trust that life is going to be okay. And largely, the reason why we ended up creating a program exclusively for women that are going through this, it's called Empower Her, to really help the women that we've seen so many come through that feel like they've gotten lost in all of this, that they've not just lost self-trust, they've lost their life. They're isolated, they're wrapped up in different programs and courses and books and listening and reading things that they never thought in a million years that they would be doing. And they don't recognize themselves, they don't feel at home within themselves. And one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself, one of the greatest gifts that you can give another human, is to help walk them home, help walk them back to themselves. And that truly is a gift to give to somebody.
Yeah. And after betrayal, a partner is completely disempowered for a period of time. And the reason is because how can you be powerful and empowered if you don't have necessary information, right? Like the whole idea of deception robs a partner of important information to make decisions that they would make otherwise, all of that stuff that we talk about all the time. So that is really like kind of the quintessential definition of disempowered. So what can help the most for a person who's been disempowered is to help empower them. And so I would say that for a partner who is really struggling, and if you're devoting most of your time, by the way, to healing the relationship, I'm going to really ask you to take a step back and think about what's something that you can do for you, not to ignore the relationship, you know, not to walk away from that, to still, of course, give it attention and care. But remember that you are going to be the best version of yourself in a partnership when you are the best version of yourself for yourself.
Amen.
Right? Amen to that. That is the universal truth. So all the effort you're putting into the relationship, you need to put as much, if not more, into healing the parts of yourself that got wounded that your partner who hurt you can't heal. And that's really very painful. You know, that's a painful reality that after betrayal, sadly, the betrayed partner didn't cause it, but they are in a position where they have to heal it. And they can heal the relationship with the participation and help of the partner that's caused this. But the partner who did all of the damage, the partner who harmed, unfortunately can't do the healing for you. And that is more loss and that is pain. And I know people that are angry about that. I'm angry about it. I'm angry for you. You know, it's not fair. Life's not fair. And so we really do want to shine the light today on you as the betrayed partner, getting yourself back. Like Elise said, coming home.
Yeah, I could say for myself, I found parts of myself I didn't even know existed. Had I not taken the journey of asking myself the questions, who am I? What do I want? What do I stand for? What won't I stand for? What are my standards? What are my boundaries? What's my vision? What do I want for myself? If I didn't ask those questions of myself, I truly do believe that I would not be the woman that I am today. And so it is not a good way to get a great gift. But like you said, you didn't ask to be here. This happened to you. And now what we do with it, we do have a say in the matter. And that is part of the empowerment piece. I get to say how my life is going to unfold from this point forward.
I get to choose. There's so much freedom in choice. There's so much freedom in having a say, using your voice, being seen, being heard, making sure that you're seen, even if someone doesn't want to listen, right? To use your voice and live in your truth. And so that's why this topic today is so important, because our listeners really do, many, many want to heal the relationship. And that's what we do. Like, that's what we help people with. But I also want to reiterate that once there's trauma, we are not in the same place to make the best decisions. So I keep saying that because I want to drive that point home, that without this piece, it's like coming into treatment and just starting to make all these choices that you wouldn't make otherwise.
It's a distraction, you know, and we spend so much of our life being distracted from our life, from the whole point of our life. And so, you know, I think it's important to say there's no agenda of doing this work and leaving your relationship, doing this work and staying in the relationship. You know, relational healing can happen staying in the relationship or leaving the relationship. For many, many, many listeners, there's 20, 30, 40 years of a relationship. There are kids, there are families, there are friends. Healing the relationship, regardless of the relationship status, is valuable to both people.
Yeah. And I'm going to again speak to the betrayers and say, I want you to advocate for your partner's healing of their self-trust. I want you to advocate because you want to save the marriage. You want to be in a wonderful, committed, connected, deeply meaningful relationship. But you want to be in that relationship with your partner who is at home with themselves, who can trust themselves. I would hope that you don't want your partner to make a decision about your relationship or about anything in your lives, you know, from a place of trauma and a place of woundedness. So I want to encourage both people to advocate for rebuilding the relationship with one's trust.
And also, I think it's fair to say, from the betrayer's standpoint, it could feel possibly scary, like, oh, my partner's going to go off and do this empowerment work. Empowerment isn't loud. It isn't boisterous. Empowerment is a quiet confidence. It's a quiet knowing. And only good things can come from that. And trusting, again, we're right back to trust, right? Trusting that it is part of the healing process. So this is really about coming home to yourself.
Yeah. And the empowerment healing is also quite subtle, right? It's not something like you wake up one day and it's like, bam, it's like this quiet knowing. Like you said, it's these subtle realizations that you really can't necessarily put to words, but you feel them and you know, it's a knowing. And that is what each person deserves.
Totally. Yeah, deep, deep knowing. And, you know, there's an expression, I probably have said it to you before, that healing happens over many years and in an instant.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's that knowing. It's sort of, you start to really feel differently. Your lens on life shifts. You're not looking through a foggy mirror. All the fog is gone. you can see clearly.
So go out there and empower yourselves. And before we jump off, Elise, why don't you take just a moment or so and share a few ideas about how one can empower themselves? Because I imagine, you know, people listening to this that are resonating and saying, yes, 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 all true. Okay, well, what do I do about it? What can we share with them?
So something I think is incredibly powerful is to literally sit down, have the tactile, physical experience of taking a pen and a piece of paper and writing down, this is what I want, which is different than this is I don't want. I want this on one part of the paper. And on the other part of the paper, why do you want that? Or I need this. And then why do you need this? Because there's something deeper beneath it. Whatever it is that we're wanting, and generally speaking, and I want to guide you to look for the feeling, because we really are emotional human beings. And so whatever it is that you're looking for or seeking, there's a feeling that's attached to it. So go from, I want this, this is why I want this, and this is how I believe I will feel when I get this. And sort of really kind of put yourself in the momentum and in the vibe of what that feels like. Have the experience, right? And write those things down. And then say them to yourself, read them. And then say it out loud. Hear yourself say them. So now we've done it tactily. We've written it. And now we've said it to ourselves. We're starting to reprogram the subconscious mind. And now we said it out loud. We're activating our listening. And we're feeling it, right? So you really want to have a full body experience, because the brain doesn't know the difference between what was and what will be. It's just right here, right now. So work in the now and catch yourself when you hear yourself saying things like that'll never happen, or I don't want, right? Now we're right back into the aligning ourselves with what we don't want as opposed to what we do want. And what we don't want is great contrast. I mean, we need what we don't want to know what we do want, but then flip it around for yourself and do that, right? So one last time, I'm going to walk you through the steps, because I know we all love steps, right? So take out a piece of paper and pen and write down, this is what I want or need. This is why I want it. And this is how I believe it's going to make me feel. Everything you wrote to yourself, read it out loud and drop into the feeling of it already being done, that you get to feel that way. You get to have that. And then I would take that and read it in the morning, midday, at night. That would just become my mantra. That would become what I am aligning and attuning myself to.
I love it. I love those visualizations or mind's eye work. And you have to believe it. To do this exercise, you really have to allow yourself to vision possibility. And that could be really hard when you're struggling, but you can do it, right? You guys know Glennon Doyle, we can do hard things. I love that, that whole concept. We can do hard things. You can do hard things. You can go from a place of being very disempowered to a beautiful place of being empowered. And like Elise said earlier, just coming home to yourself. So we hope that this has been helpful. Like Elise said, we have a new course. It's called Empower Her. We're offering it in two totally different ways. The first is you can just buy it off the website as a standalone course and go through it yourself at your own pace. It is a 12-week course. Or you can actually buy it as a coaching program where you'll go through it with a group and with your own coach. And you can find out about all of that on the website at helpingcouplesheal.com. And as always, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for trusting us. And take good care, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, where your healing is our number one priority. If you'd like additional resources about betrayal trauma or to learn more about our coaching services, please visit helpingcouplesheal.com or call 562-379-4325. Our help is available worldwide. Please support Helping Couples Heal in continuing to reach others impacted by betrayal trauma by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast with someone you care about. For additional support, follow us on Instagram and consider joining our Helping Couples Heal private Facebook community. This isn't an easy journey, but you don't have to do it alone. Once again, thank you for listening.